beginning in the 17th verse of the 5th chapter. I've entitled today's message, Friends Don't Allow Friends Not to See Jesus. They came up with a topic a while back, you know, Friends Don't Let Friends Drive Drunk. That's very good. But this is a better one. Friends Don't Allow Friends Not to See Jesus. Last week, we saw a man who had been afflicted with leprosy and his process by which he came to Jesus for healing. Today, we see a process by which a man comes for healing, but he comes in unison with friends and the assistance of others. And so today, we get to see how God works, but we also get to see and be reminded of the importance of us as believers in the life and in the encountering of Jesus for other individuals. So let's go ahead and pick up. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They came from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, let's kind of set the stage here a little bit. Jesus is in Capernaum, and most people hold to that he's teaching in Peter's house there in Capernaum, where he had healed his mother-in-law earlier. And so they're teaching there in Capernaum, and people are coming to hear Jesus teach, and the Pharisees had come to hear him teach. And we're going to talk, I want to teach you a little bit about them here right now, because when you hear Pharisees and Sadducees, usually all we do is pick on them. But they did have a role, they did have a purpose, and they did have a validity. The Pharisees were the Bible teachers of the day, okay? Now, the Pharisees were instituted at a time in Jewish history when the people of God had become distracted. They had become distracted in their thoughts. They had become distracted in their hearts. They had become distracted in their actions. And God began to call His people back unto Himself, and He called out, He set aside a people to study the Word, to proclaim the Word, to live the Word, in bringing His people to righteousness. And they were called the Pharisees. They started out with great intentions, great purpose, but at times things went a little awry. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are two different groups of people. One of the things to understand about the Pharisees is the Pharisees were more of the modern day, the workaday world guys. The Pharisees were the blue collar guys of the Sanhedrin, the decision making body. Now, the Sadducees were more affluent. They spent a greater interest in political correctness and those sort of things. And in the deciding-making bodies, the Pharisees outnumbered the Sadducees. And even in their minority status, they oftentimes had a greater influence because people would listen to them because they're down amongst the people, serving the people, living with the people. And so they had a very important role in the leadership of the people. Also, they were given the responsibility. I'm so good, I got to help myself. They were given the responsibility for making sure what was being taught was accurate. Now, we live in a time where biblical teaching, or the claim of biblical teaching, has never been more accessible. But let me just say this in all humility. Just because someone can access your ear and claims for it to be biblical, don't assume that it is biblical. These men were responsible for hearing, understanding, and judging whether what was being taught was biblically accurate, godly accurate, and if not, to hold the individual accountable. We must be very careful about what we listen to and what we claim is biblical. Because just because someone says it on the radio doesn't mean it's biblical. And just because it sounds like it might be biblical doesn't always mean it's biblical. So these men also will be rebuked by Jesus because of their legalism and their hypocrisy. When we are called to love and to lead, we are also called to reflect that which we want people to see. And so Jesus will rebuke them, and most, like all of us, they don't take to rebuke very well. So Jesus is teaching, the word about Jesus is teaching and healing is getting out, and these men have come together to sit and listen to Jesus to make sure what he's saying is accurate, but also there's a concern. You know, there's a growing concern of this growing movement. So verse 18, some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house and to lay him before Jesus. So we see four friends carrying a fifth friend. Now, that's really important here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. Now, can I just say this? Wouldn't it be a great problem for people not to be able to get into the house where Jesus is teaching because it's too crowded? Wouldn't that be a tremendous problem? I read this story and I chuckle a little bit because on one hand, is it a problem? Well, no. I wish we were hanging people from the rafters in here this morning. But on the other side, we do see there is a bit of a problem. Let me go one step further. Could these people have not made a way for this man to get in the room? You know, I can't help but wonder, were the crowd being a little self-centered? Hey, man, I got here 5 hours early for this seat. You can just wait outside. They couldn't make a way. So they bring their friend to where Jesus is teaching. The house is full to capacity. And so now they're up against a decision. We say this often, I'll say it again, following Jesus is not always easy. Amen? Yes. Obstacles will arise. If obstacles are not arising, you might be a little concerned. Now, what we do when the obstacles arrive is very important. Here, these men had an option. They had lugged their friend the distance that they had lugged him. They didn't just get him out of the truck, you know. I mean, they carried him. And now they're up against it. They brought him there to see Jesus. We can't get in. Now we've got to make a decision. Let's see what their decision was. They went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tile and into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Now, if this is Peter's house, can we just all be honest right now? If someone starts tearing into your roof, are you going to be happy about that? We don't get to see that side, but there is a human dynamic going on here that Scripture doesn't share with us. But these men decided that the best way to get him to him was to come through the roof, and they make that happen. Verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, before I go much further, let's just look at verse 20. We see four men carrying one man to Jesus. Now, we don't have a lot of evidence, but I want to consider just what we have on the screen, okay? When Jesus sees the five of these men, he says, when Jesus saw their faith, now there means whose faith? The four. He could be looking up and says, the four of you. When Jesus saw their faith, now give me just a little bit. What about the man on the floor? Does it take a little faith to explore Jesus? Yeah, it does, right? So he looks, he says, he saw their faith. Now the reason I have a confidence that this man had not come into relationship with Jesus was because he said, your. Singular. The four men up top, I'm assuming, based on the evidence that I have, had knowledge of Jesus and faith in Jesus in bringing this man, he says, and your sins are forgiven. Now let me ask you this. How hard is it to bring someone to Jesus? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go here. Once again, there's a need that only God could meet. Humanity would do well to admit that we have needs that we cannot meet, and we would do even better if we would realize that only God can meet them. The government can't meet them. The banker can't meet them. The physicians, as good as they are, can't meet them. God and God alone can meet the needs of humanity. Now, who asked who the question? I got a little ahead here, okay? Here's this guy. He's paraplegic, quadriplegic, we're not sure. He's unable to move. And here's his four friends, and based on what I'm seeing, I'm assuming they have faith in Jesus. Who asked that question? Let me ask you this. How hard is the Jesus question when it comes to your friends, your family, and your coworkers? How hard is it? You fear bringing up the Jesus question more than you fear bringing up the Trump question. Right? Who asked who? Did the man laying on the mat look at his four friends and say, guys, I need you to get me to Jesus because I need something that only he's providing? Or could it have been one of the four or the collection of the four who said, hey, brother, you need you some Jesus? We don't know. But somewhere there had to be a Jesus conversation. And I want to recommend you a small, very usable tool. It's called How to Share Your Faith. It's an app. There's an app for that. I carry that on my phone. And it is the simplest, most effective tool that I have been able to carry in my pocket for years. One, because if I pull out an old-fashioned gospel tract, anyone under the age of 40 looks at me and goes, what? Okay, I'm not hating on the tract, I'm just saying. But the beautiful thing about this app is it'll let you tell the story, or it can tell the story for you. It is a beautiful, simple app, and it's free. I cannot recommend to you enough. Download this app, walk yourself through it, and utilize it. You can also go to howtoshareyourfaith.com on your regular laptop or whatever. Beautiful thing. Because, can I be honest with you? Asking that Jesus question is even scary for me. You say, but Jimmy, you're the professional. No. I don't like being rejected. I don't like to be slapped down any more than you do. Hey, listen, so, hey, let's talk about Jesus. Oh, hey, let's not. That hurts my feelings just like it hurts your feelings. Hey, let's have coffee. We can talk about Jesus. Yeah, how about the second Tuesday of next week? Some of you will get that in a minute. But who asked who? We don't know. But this is what I do know, was four believers had to synchronize their efforts to get a man to Jesus. How hard is it to get four people to do anything at one time? They had to bring their Google Calendar together and go, well, what day can we do that? And then you got to figure out which four guys can actually carry the load. And then you got to get a hall pass from the bride. Hey, bride, I'm going to be gone a day or two because we're going to take Joe to see Jesus. Oh, you go ahead, baby. You know what I'm saying? Listen, living for Jesus is not always easy. It doesn't always fit into our calendars. It doesn't always fit into our preferences. But listen, when we're willing to sacrifice, because seeing Jesus is the most important thing any man, woman, boy, or girl can do in their entire lives, it'll move it up the priority scale. Who asked the question? I don't know, but it's a good question. Someone asked it, and now they're moving on. But there were some immobilizers. You like how I did that right there? Quadriplegic, mobile. There are some immobilizers to action. There's fear. There's fear on the world side when you start talking about Jesus. Well, I'm just not into organized religion. Well, no, but you're into organized chaos. I would go up to that church, but it's full of hypocrites. Great. Get right in, you hypocrite. Well, you know, religion's just a whole big book of don'ts. There's more do's in the Bible than don'ts, amen? Listen, we all have fears. If I go to church, I may see someone who knows me, and you know what? They know me. There may be sin. Can we just agree with this? Sin is fun for a season. So it's sitting out under the bright, shiny sun in the summer. But you know what happens if you're not careful? Sunburn. Indifference. There's a lot of obstacles. But the question we have to ask is God important enough to us? And are they important enough to us that we overcome those obstacles? Only you can answer that. And in this encounter, it took four men to overcome that question. And this is what I know. Love plus faith will always equal action. Always. Love and faith will always equal action. Hold on to that thought as we go ahead. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, very important, thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, oh man, he knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Let me ask you this. Has there ever been a time in your life where someone was looking at you and they go, I know what you're thinking? You go, I don't think you do. And they go, no, you're thinking da da da. And they're like, no. But they just nailed it. You see, God knows us. Amen. You know what's amazing to me is we want God to know us until we don't want Him to know us. Right? Let's look at the 139th Psalm where it says this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Let's say that together, shall we? All my ways. Let's say it one more time. All my ways. Now, you know what all means in Hebrew? All. You know what it means in Greek? All. You know what it means in English? Same thing. You're so smart. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Now, wait a minute. I didn't even get to say it and God's holding me accountable? Yippers. You see, Jesus is going to take the action to the higher level, to the thought, as we get further in His ministry. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Jesus displayed His omniscience. That's a big word that means this. God knows everything all the time. Now, when we come to understand that, that's a great motivator. When we begin to wrestle with things in our minds and our hearts, they confronted Jesus' claim to be God. Now, what's interesting, in just a moment, they're going to give Him, oh, it's okay that you healed Him. But in a minute, they're questioning, hey, wait a minute. You may heal this man. You healed a leper. Healing's okay, but don't you claim to be God? Because only God can forgive sins. Do you see the dichotomy in their minds? Let me ask you this. If God isn't doing the healing, then who's doing it? Well, they say later on in the biblical account, well, it must be what? The devil. Let me just say this. The devil ain't got that kind of authority. But these men, they're looking. Now, let me just say this. Let me play the devil's advocate here for these men. They're wrestling with the truth of who Jesus is, just like you wrestled with the truth who Jesus is, and how you still wrestle at times. See, these men are different from us. They were charged with a responsibility. They were wrestling with their own sins, and they're trying to grasp who God is incarnate. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. If Jesus walked amongst us, we would struggle too. Just because we can sing Jesus and just because we have a picture of Jesus, just because we wear a t-shirt that says Jesus, don't think you've grasped all of Jesus. These men are wrestling with, well, they said it. Our minds can't even comprehend. I can't comprehend God, all of Him. You wade out a little further and you fall into a sinkhole and next thing you know, you're drowning. And all of us do it. Jesus confronts them on the battleground of faith, their hearts. You see, they were wrestling intellectually, but they were also wrestling with their heart. Because, see, what you think affects the way you feel, but the way you feel affects the way you think. Amen? And it's not the absence of faith, because, ladies and gentlemen, we all exercise faith. Everyone in our world exercises faith every day. I loved your son yesterday. When we got to the airport, he walked in and he goes, oh, he goes, I don't think I've ever even been in an airport. I said, well, you see that big wishbone? You got to break it before you can get on the plane. It's a piece of artwork, but. But you see, faith is such a big thing, and we exercise faith. And that young man exercised faith climbing into that van yesterday. And he exercised faith carrying that bag into that airport. And he exercised faith walking through that security. And he exercised faith getting on that metal tube that flies at 25,000 feet in the air at 450 miles an hour going south. I'm going to tell you, that's some faith. We all have faith. We all exercise faith. And Jesus takes them to task at the battleground of faith, the human heart, and he asks this simple question. Who am I to you? Who is Jesus? Oh, it's so great. Verse 23, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Oh, what a great question. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately, what? Immediately, not only was he healed, amen, but immediately he what? He did what Jesus said to do. Do you know who Christians are? Christians are the people who do what Jesus says to do. It's not the building you sit in. It's not the t-shirt you wear. It's not the radio that you listen to. It's when you do what Jesus says to do. And so immediately he stood up in front of them, took the mat which he'd been lying on. I probably would have left it. I ain't going to need that no more. Right? You can have it. Or I'd look at my four friends and said, hey, you just, that's one of you guys. You carry that. Or you know what? Now, this is me. This is all me. This is my sanctified imagination. That brother rolled that mat up and he thought, you know what? I may need to carry someone to Jesus. I just might need this mat to carry someone to Jesus, just like my friends carried me to Jesus. Everyone was amazed and they got praise to God. They didn't get praise to the Pharisees. They didn't get praise to the four men on the roof. They didn't give praise to the man that rolled up. The man walked out. They gave praise to who? God, because God alone is worthy of our praise. They were filled with awe. And they said this, we have seen remarkable things. I'm going to tell you what, I can think of a whole laundry list of things we could have said. Jesus unequivocally declares his authority. Matthew 28 says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority. What does that mean? That means Jesus has authority over everything. He has authority to save. He has authority to forgive. He has authority to judge. He has authority to bless. He has authority to withhold blessings. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me, Jesus said. That's a hard truth, isn't it? Jesus asked that funny question, which one is easier? These men are thinking in their minds, who is this man to be forgiving sins? And Jesus goes, well, let me ask you this. Which one of my statements that I'm about to lay on you is easier? Your sins are forgiven? Or how about this? Boom, get up and go home. It would have been easy to say your sins are forgiven. Because who can know? Jesus says it. Everybody goes, well, okay. How would they know the man's sins were forgiven? They can't see his heart. They're not sure Jesus even has the authority to do this. So Jesus just goes, well, how about this? Jesus just goes, all right, if that blew your mind, let me blow the other half. Get up and walk. Actions evidenced reality. Jesus says, I have all authority. Okay, Jesus, what's your actions? Okay, get up and walk. So if Jesus can tell a lame man, get up and walk, you think he has the power to forgive sins? I think so. Because which one's harder? He could have said, all your sins are forgiven, and everybody goes, well, we just have to believe him. But there is no denying when that man picks up his mat. In my mind, I'm thinking of me rolling up my yoga mat. There's a picture for you. I do practice yoga. I do have a mat. It's in my car. He rolls that mat up, tucks it about his arm. He goes, praising God. Our forgiveness is evidenced what? By our actions. Do you know how the world knows something has transpired in our lives that only God can do? By the way we live our lives. Love and faith will always be evidenced by actions. Because you can sit around and say, oh, well, God's transformed my life. And they go, okay, what's your evidence? Show me the money, as the movie once said. It's by the way we live. It's by the way we love. It's by the way we give. It's by the way we speak. It's what we place value on, and it's the things that we don't value as much. You see, it's such a simple but so difficult thing. I am born again. I am forgiven of my sins by grace through faith. That's an internal working. That's evidenced by the external working. I'm so excited for the city this week. I'm so excited about the time, God willing, I get to knock on someone's door and go, hey, I notice your lawn's kind of out of check. Would it be all right if I knock this back? I got a weed eater, got a mower, got a blower, kind of put this in check. Then to look at it and you go, well, what do you want? Nothing. Well, what do you mean, nothing? Nothing. Well, why would you do this? Well, I'm with a part of a movement, and we're just out trying to evidence Jesus. And then this is what usually happens, because when faith and grace get up against people, they got to find some way to put their 2 cents on it. Oh, what a great job you did. Let me give you this $20 bill. No, you see, it's not grace if you pay me. It's a job. Oh, I can't let you exercise grace without me giving you something. No. Right? Oh, what fun that's going to be. Why would you do such a thing? It's a kajillion degrees in Texas. Because God loves me. And He wants you to know He loves you. Oh, it's going to be great. I didn't have to fly 3 hours to Guatemala to do it. Not that I wouldn't have. I teased that team yesterday. I said, any of you guys chicken out? I said, my passport's in my pocket, and I will pay the name change on the ticket. I said, I will live all week in this right here, all week. But church, listen, let me say this. Sometimes I can't help but wonder if when we leave this place, you think that I'm chastising you for what you're not. Let me just say this. I could not be, that's not a true statement. I am terribly proud of all of the people that make ALF. You are some of the most generous, giving, godly people that I know. And I want you to know, I hear unsolicited testimony of God's working in your life out there. And nothing makes you more proud. Dads, don't you love to hear people brag on your kids? Moms, don't you love to hear people brag on your kids? Can I just say this? Your pastor loves to hear people brag on his sheep. But let us not grow content, for the work is not done. As Greenville grows, we too must grow. We must take every opportunity to bring our friends, to bring our coworkers, to bring our families to see Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, the outcome of that encounter is between God and them. I just want to be one of the four. Just let me be one of the four. So I just want to be on the team. I don't have to be a captain. I'll be the water boy. Be your towel guy. Just let me be. I just want to be where Jesus is. So this week, as you go out into your mission field, let your faith be evidenced by your actions, as I know it is. Ask God. God, give me a new opportunity to display you through me. Shall we pray together? Father, we give you thanks today that you allow us to be your friend through grace and faith, a completed cross and an empty tomb. Father, we give you thanks today that you love us and you have a plan for us. And Father, we ask you today to use us in a mighty way in our mission field, wherever that is. Lord, help us evidence to them what you have done and are doing in us. Lord, that they might seek you, that they might see you. Lord, that we might be able to carry them to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for all these things and a thousand more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I skipped one. Today's take-home point, transformation will lead to proclamation in action and in word. Let's ask the Father to help us see ourselves as He sees us, to consider how our mission field sees us, and adjust accordingly. Amen.